All right, and once again, we are so happy to have Sister Pam Sanders, who's going to be speaking to us this morning. We have great love and respect for Sister Sanders. Many things can be said about Sister Sanders. She is a prayer warrior, and she is a person that we all look up to, young people, men, women, children alike. We have great love and respect for Sister Sanders. With that said, Sister Sanders, I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to you now.
Amen. Well, praise the Lord, everyone. Brother Vic, thank you for those very, very kind words. And, of course, I just want to give a shout out, if I may say it that way, to our pastor and pastor's wife. They are very great people, Brother and Sister Clark, and we do appreciate them so much, as well as our assistant pastor and wife, Brother and Sister Rao. We do love and appreciate them. And Brother Vic, do, because you, I commend you for this great work that you're doing. I don't know how in the world you do what you do, but you're very talented, and we praise God for your doing this. And I want to also commend all of our leaders and all of the Bible studies and the different things and testimonies that I've heard our young people. I just want to commend True Church as a whole. It's just exciting to be a part, and I'm so glad I get to go to True Church. But this morning, I would like to speak to you about the prevailing church, and we thank God for that. The word prevail, it means, and the root word is Latin, it basically means to be strong or well. And the primary sense is to stretch or to strain forward to advance. But it is defined as to overcome, to gain the victory or superiority, and to gain the advantage. So we are in the prevailing church. I'd like to use Matthew chapter 16, and we know the story when Jesus was at Caesarea Philippi. He asked his disciples, whom do men say that I am? And some say that thou art John the Baptist. They replied, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, so one of the prophets. But he said unto them, well, whom say ye that I am? Peter spoke up, being the spokesman. And he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And this is our focus verse. And I will say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So God's got this. We can go to sleep at night. We can stop biting our fingernails. We could stop wringing our hands and pulling out our hair. God is in control. Psalm 11:3 says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? We're going to pray. We're going to fast, seek the face of God, call on his name, live holy, worship, and give him crazy praise. We're going to love him, persevere, hold on, hold fast, and have faith. Psalm 82:5, they know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. Micah 7:2, the good man is perished out of the earth, and there is none upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. They hunt every man his brother with a net. Isaiah 57:1, the righteous perisheth, and no man layeth it to heart. And merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. The psalmist cries out in Psalm 12:1, help, Lord, for the godly man ceases, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. Genesis 6:5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented God that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Matthew 24:37-39. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the days of the coming of the Son of Man be. Whereas in the days they were that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also be the coming of the Son of Man. So we live in this day and age, and I don't need to repeat it to you. You know it's crazy out there. It's chaotic. But thank God, we're in the church, and it's not just the church, it's the prevailing church. And so if you're not in, then get in. And how do you get in? Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, evidenced by speaking in other tongues. That's the initial evidence. And if you need more information, feel free to call our line at area code 909-986-1873, and someone will answer and counsel with you how to get in the church. It's important to be in the church. And if you're in the church, stay in the church. Amen. Ephesians 2 says, and you, happy quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. But God, thank God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. So we're in the prevailing church, and Christ is the head of the church, and he's got all power. Ephesians 1:21-23, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Colossians, likewise, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in him that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Now we're precious to God. We're his people. And Deuteronomy 32:10 says, he found him in a desert land and in the waste howling wilderness. That's sin. And he led him about. He instructed him, and he kept him as the apple of his eye. Isaiah lets us know that we are the crown of glory in the hand of the Lord and a royal diadem in the hand of the Lord. Malachi 3:17 lets us know that we belong to him and we make up his jewels. Acts 20:28 tells us that the church was purchased with his own blood. Ephesians 5:25 admonishes the husbands to love their wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Psalm 11:7 lets us know that the righteous Lord loveth righteousness, and his countenance doth behold the upright. Psalm 146:8 lets us know that the Lord loves the righteous. 1 Samuel 12:22, the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake. Because why? We belong to God. John 15:16, ye have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. 1 Peter 2:9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. God is our protector. In Exodus 14:14, the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. 2 Chronicles 32:8, with him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her in that right early. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Also in Psalms, it says, through thee will we push down our enemies. Through thy name will we tread them under that rise up against us. Romans lets us know, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Psalm 34:7, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. In Psalm 91:4, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Psalms again tells us, as the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth, even forever. For I, saith the Lord in Zechariah, will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and will be the glory in the midst of her. In Luke 21:17-18, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but there shall not an hair of your head perish. Luke 10:19, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. You are God's elect. In Matthew 24:21-22, it lets us know there about the last days, great tribulations, and except those days should be shortened, there shall no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. In Matthew 24:31, he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the one end of heaven to the other. And Luke 18:7, he says, it says it's a parable, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? In Romans 8:31-37, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? And who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, and who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long, we're counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We're heirs, joint heirs, and sons. Romans 8:14-17. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. We're lights of the world. the Bible tells us in Matthew 5:14, ye are the light of the world, a city set on the hill that cannot be hid. In Ephesians 5:8, ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. 1 Thessalonians 5:5, ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. John 12:36, while ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of the light. These things spake Jesus and departed, and did hide himself from them. Colossians 1:11-14, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. We're sons of God, as I mentioned earlier, but these scriptures point out in John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Philippians 2:15, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. 1 John 3:1-3, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Sheep, we're the sheep of God's pasture. Psalm 100, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. And you know what? We're the bride of Christ. 2 Corinthians 11:2, Paul says, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Revelation 19:7-8. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. So we're a prevailing church. We're an overcoming church. And there are several scriptures, and I want to cut it short because I know this is kind of lengthy. But in Revelation 2:7, Jesus says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Revelation 2:17. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. Revelation 2:26-28. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers. And verse 28, and I will give him the morning star. Revelation 3:5. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Revelation 3:12. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall no more go out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. These are important scriptures. This should encourage us today. Revelation 3:21. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Almost done. Hold on. Revelation 12:10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Revelation 21:7, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. John 16:33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. 1 John 5:4-5, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. So we're all of those things. We're the temple of God, his spiritual house. We're lively stones. We are in the household of God. We are the assembly of the saints and the upright. We're the body of Christ. We're in the family of God. We're in the general assembly. We're God's building and husbandry. We're the heavenly Jerusalem, and we're going to live in a holy city. We're in the house of God, and we're of the household of God, and we are the pillar and ground of the truth. And you know what, saints? We're in the prevailing church. I love you today. Thank you for your patience, and you have a blessed day in Jesus.
And thank you. Thank you, Sister Sanders, for that very complete Bible study. You know, church, we just heard a very complete Bible study. And if some of us have been doubtful about how to give a Bible study or how to explain to someone about salvation or how to get into the church, all you got to do is replay this message and list all the verses that Sister Sanders wrote down this morning and read to us. You don't have to do all of them, but you could do most of them, and you have yourself a very complete Bible study. Thank you again, Sister Sanders, for that powerful message about the prevailing church. And she gave us, she reminded us of the key to enter into that prevailing church, and that is the Acts 2:38 message. Then Peter said unto them, repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's a verse that we all should memorize. Once again, thank you. Thank you, Sister Sanders, for that great encouragement and reminder that we are part of the prevailing church. Praise God. And with that said, everyone, we're going to want to remind you to join us again for our conference call tonight on our evening devotion. We will be hearing from Brother Alvin and Sister Keenan Cowan tonight at 7:15 p.m. We look forward to see everyone there tonight. God bless all of you. And have a great day. Amen.